Hey friends, this is Catherine Schaefer from Unpolished but Cult. There's something about that old line from Charles Spurgeon that stops me every time. If you have room for Christ, then from this day forth, remember, the world has no room for you. It sounds so poetic until life starts proving it true. You open your heart to Jesus and suddenly discover that half the rooms you used to fit in have locked their doors. People you loved start keeping their sentences careful around you, conversations shrink, and invitations thin. And you sit there trying to understand why something that fills you could make you feel emptier in every other place. Nobody warns you that salvation rearranges your social map. It doesn't only add heaven, it subtracts the world. And we don't talk about that kind of loneliness much. The ache that comes when obedience exiles you from old comforts. You still care about people, still laugh at the same jokes, but something invisible has shifted. Their rhythm no longer matches yours. The things that once made you feel alive now sound hollow. And it isn't arrogance, it's alignment. You're tuned to a new frequency, and it hums differently. There's this myth that Christianity makes you instantly joyful and surrounded by community, which sometimes it does, but more often it begins with silence, like moving into a new house where the walls haven't learned your voice yet. You walk the halls and everything echoes. You tell yourself it's peace, but some days it feels more like loss. And that's what Spurgeon meant. To make room for Christ is to give him space that used to belong to the world. And the world will notice. I think of Bethlehem, how the innkeeper wasn't cruel, just crowded. The world rarely hates Jesus outright. It's simply too busy for him. There's always something more urgent, more profitable, more popular. The rooms fill with noise until there's no space left for divinity to slip in quietly. So he shows up in the margins instead, in mangers, in hearts that never make headlines, in people who learn that the quiet places, though small, are sacred. And if you've ever felt unseen after saying yes to God, you're in good company. The stable wasn't glamorous, but it was holy ground. And that's where Emmanuel first breathed. And that's where he still chooses to dwell, with those who've been pushed to the edges for his sake. I didn't expect faith to feel like homelessness sometimes, but that's what following Jesus does. It uproots you from everything temporary till you finally hunger for what's eternal. The world can give you 1,000 rooms, but only Christ gives you a home. The problem is, our hearts keep house hopping. We want heaven's peace with the world's approval. We want to belong to both kingdoms and hope they'll share custody. But they won't. Light and darkness have never agreed on a lease. And when you finally pick a side, you'll notice who stops walking with you. And it's not always dramatic. Sometimes, it's just distance. You stop laughing at the same things. You can't pretend sin is funny anymore. You start craving depth while they crave distraction. And it's not because you're better, just different. And that difference becomes its own kind of silence. But listen, that silence is not punishment. It's proof. Proof that transformation is real. Proof that the Holy Spirit's renovation project in your soul is working. So when you truly make room for Christ, something always moves out. And it might be habits, it might be pride, might be people, And yes, it hurts, but the space left behind isn't wasted. It's being prepared for something weightier, something heaven-sized. That's the paradox of the gospel. The smaller your circle gets, the wider your heart grows. There's this moment in John's gospel where Jesus tells his followers, "You are not of the world." It's both comfort and warning. Comfort because you finally understand why you never quite fit. Warning because belonging to him will always cost you belonging elsewhere. You can't keep world's applause once you start echoing eternity. And honestly, some days I miss it. The easy acceptance, the sense of being understood. The world rewards conformity. The kingdom crowns surrender. The exchange rate is brutal but beautiful. The disciples learned that firsthand. They followed a man who had nowhere to lay his head. And by the end, they were scattered, misunderstood, and martyred. Yet none of them regretted it. They'd seen too much light to go back to living in shadows. That's the secret most people miss. The world's rejection isn't failure. It's validation. If darkness welcomes you comfortably, maybe your lamp's gone dim. Still, I wish it didn't sting. I wish being biblical didn't sometimes mean being lonely. But loneliness has its lessons. It teaches us dependence, humility, and the kind of prayer that doesn't perform. When everything else walks away, you discover that Christ doesn't. And that realization changes the air inside you. You start to crave his nearness more than anyone's approval. You begin to see the world's rejection not as a door slammed, but as an invitation deeper into his presence. And the irony is, the more room you give him, the freer you become. You lose popularity but gain peace. You trade relevance for revelation. The world stops recognizing you, but heaven starts whispering your name with familiarity. And there's a strange beauty in holy isolation, the kind where it's just you and Jesus in a room the world forgot existed. You cry, you question, you grow, and somewhere in that quiet, you realize he's enough. The more I think about it, the more I realize Christianity was never meant to blend. And from the beginning, it divided light from darkness, truth from lies, love from lust, humility from pride. It draws lines not to exclude, but to define. And when you live inside those lines, you shine in ways the world can't duplicate. You become a reminder that something eternal still exists. And that's why the world grows uncomfortable around you. You expose what it's trying to forget. That exposure is mercy, even when it's misunderstood. I remember a conversation once where someone told me, "You've changed. You're not as fun anymore." It was said kindly, almost teasingly, but it stuck with me. Because they were right. I had changed. Fun used to mean reckless laughter that left me empty. Now it means joy that leaves me full. I didn't lose personality. I gained purpose. That's the trade-off. Less noise, more meaning. And once you taste that, surface living just doesn't satisfy. We sometimes romanticize being set apart, but in practice, it's messy. It means walking away from gossip circles, staying quiet in arguments, saying no when yes would make you popular. It means choosing character over convenience, honesty over image. but it also means living lighter. Because when you stop carrying the weight of pretending, you start walking in peace that doesn't depend on applause. The world will call it narrow. They'll call it naive. They'll say you've been brainwashed. But it's not narrow. It's focused. It's not naive. It's awake. And it's not brainwashed. It's heart cleansing. There's nothing wrong with being misunderstood when the one who understands you holds the universe. Spurgeon's quote wasn't a threat. It was a promise. If you have room for Christ, the world has no room for you. In other words, don't panic when rejection shows up at your doorstep. It's just the world making space for your eternity. Every no from the crowd is a yes from heaven. We're so afraid of being left out that we forget we were chosen out. Chosen out of the noise, out of the chaos, out of the ordinary. Not to live above people, but to live among them differently. That difference will confuse some and convict others. But either way, it's worth it. Because somewhere in your quiet refusal to conform, someone else will see freedom. They'll see peace that doesn't make sense, forgiveness that shouldn't be possible, hope that shouldn't have survived. And they'll start wondering what room you've been living from. That's when your exile turns into evangelism. Your loneliness becomes light. And your story stops being about who left and starts being about who stayed. So the longer you walk this narrow road, the more you see that rejection is never wasted. Every door that shuts leaves you facing the one that never will. Every friendship that fades makes space for communion that doesn't. The pruning hurts, but fruit never grows without it. And that's the hidden kindness in losing what once held you. God is freeing your hands to hold him tighter. At first, you keep reaching back, hoping maybe you can drag the old comfort with you, but you can't carry crosses and crowds at the same time. The path is too thin for both. So he starts teaching you a new kind of belonging, one that doesn't depend on approval, the belonging of spirit, not seen, the family of faith, not fandom, the kind that sits in small circles of believers who might never trend but somehow keep the world lit just by staying faithful. Those people are the ones heaven calls famous. You'll meet them quietly, people with eyes tired from tears and hearts still wide open. They know what exile feels like. They know what it means to be misunderstood by everyone except God. They're not loud about faith. They just live it until it sings. And when you meet them, you'll realize you are never really alone. You are just being led home by another route. And that's what the wise men did. After they found the child, they didn't go back the same way. Once you encounter truth, you can't return to the old roads. The detour becomes your destiny. So yes, there's no room for you in some places now, but that's because you've outgrown them. The ceilings are too low for resurrection. Let that comfort you the next time you feel forgotten. Heaven hasn't lost track of you. It's reserving a better seat. Sometimes I picture it like this. You're standing outside the inn, night cold against your face, hearing laughter spill from behind closed doors. You could force your way in, pretend you still fit, Or you could follow the star to the stable and find God in the straw. The warmth there isn't glamour, it's glory. That's the invitation. The world will always have more inns, more noise, more glitter, but the manger still hums with peace, and that's where he dwells, with the meek, the tired, the ones who made room. So if you feel misplaced right now, maybe you're exactly where you're meant to be, because the gospel has always been for outsiders. Shepherds saw it first, women preached it first, outcasts carried it first. God loves turning the overlooked into the torchbearers. That's us, the ones who didn't fit anywhere until we fit in grace. And the more you live this way, the more you realize exile isn't the end of belonging. It's the beginning of identity. You start seeing the pattern everywhere. Joseph thrown in a pit before wearing a crown. Daniel in a den before influencing kings. Paul in a prison before writing the letters that built the church. Every time the world ran out of room, God carved new space for his glory. And he's still doing that. You might feel boxed in by circumstances, shut out by people, overlooked by opportunity, but that's just the sound of heaven rearranging walls to make space for something eternal. We've been taught to chase inclusion, but sometimes exclusion is God's protection. The rooms that reject you were never built to hold your calling. And when you finally see that, rejection stops feeling like failure. It starts feeling like redirection. You breathe easier. You forgive quicker. You stop begging to belong in places that can't contain who you're becoming. And that's the kind of freedom the world can't manufacture. Because it isn't rebellion, it's rest. And resting in Christ changes how you see everything. Even pain looks different. You start trusting that every heartbreak is holy ground waiting to be named. You start recognizing his fingerprints in every closed door. You realize you're not being punished, you're being positioned. That's what no room for you really means. Not rejection, but relocation. He's moving you closer. Closer to peace that isn't performative. Closer to joy that doesn't depend on circumstance. Closer to purpose that doesn't need permission. And in that closeness, you start to love the quiet. You stop fearing solitude because you've met someone there. You stop trying to prove your worth because his presence already proved it. And the world might never make room for you, but heaven already did. There's a seat at the table no one can steal, a name written down that can't be erased, a future secure enough to silence the need for validation. And that's why the saints could sing in prisons and prophets could dance in deserts. Because they found a belonging that bars couldn't break. And we have that too. So, the next time the world pushes you out, don't panic. Just look for the manger light, and that's where your peace waits. That's where your story keeps unfolding. That's where rejection turns into redemption. And when people say, "You've changed," smile and agree you have. You've traded crowded halls for holy ground. And you're not missing out. You're moving forward. Because if you have room for Christ, The world has no room for you. And that's the best eviction notice you'll ever receive. So, friends, you've been listening to Unpolished But Cold. I'm Catherine Schaefer. Thank you for sitting in this quiet space with me today. If this message met you somewhere tender, share it with someone who feels a little out of place right now. Let them know they're not forgotten. They're being refined. You can find more devotionals, encouragement, and stories like this at CatherineSchaefer.com. You can also find the link in my show notes or in my comments or extra information down below. Until next time, keep walking the narrow road, keep your heart soft, and when the world has no room, remember, heaven always does. Thanks for listening. Until next time.